Welcome to the Casual Critics. I'm Presley Baker, and this is my mom, Becky Baker. And we are mother and daughter, and we dive into some of today's most interesting and current topics on culture, sports, entertainment, politics, life, love, and more. And today in this episode, which is our first episode, we want to talk about women's sports, wedding trends, and spring music festivals, plus all the craziness on college campuses across the country. Mom, do you want to go ahead and start with our first topic? Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Becky Baker. Thanks for joining us today. And as Presley said, we're going to dive into some issues. One is just, I don't know how many of you follow women's sports, but women's sports right now are on fire with March Madness just ended, and some of the stars of today's basketball, college basketball, are doing very, very well. Which were your favorites?
I am an Angel Reese fan, but I like the way Angel Reese plays a lot. I think that she's selfish for the right reasons and unselfish for the same right reasons. I used to play basketball, so I'm a big Angel fan, but I know she's kind of more of a controversial character, but there were a lot of really great stars this year. I mean, Paige Beckers from UConn.
Definitely.
And I think
Cameron Bright.
Yeah, Nika Mule, I think, is from UConn too. Yeah. She just got drafted. And there's some great JuJu Watkins.
I'm not
a huge fan of how JuJu Watkins plays.
Right.
But
From USC. She graduated from USC.
I did. I went to USC. So I'm partial to be a fan of hers.
But she's also a freshman. So you got to look at the fact that she hasn't had the years that some of these other players have had to work
she's
out.
She's definitely not as seasoned as the UConn team that
Correct.
She was playing.
And yes. And she made some emotional rookie mistakes that are, I think, common, you know, with freshmen. But I'm just amazed that Angel Reese and some of these players can play with lashes on. Like, I have lashes. And I appreciate good lashes, but I'm just amazed that they're playing basketball with these big lashes and full makeup. And of course, they've got audiences, so everybody's seeing them. So I get why they're dolling up a little bit. But
I had
amazing.
No audience as a varsity women's basketball player in high school for a private school. But sometimes people would come because
you had your fans.
They would come. They would come because the boys' game was right after ours.
True.
But, I put on a lot of makeup because you know, the shooters always had on makeup. So
that's true. That's true. It's just that I just think of sweating, and I just don't think that the makeup and sweating go hand
I didn't have on the lashes Angel Reese can pull off.
Right.
But, I don't know if you watched any of the WNBA draft.
No, I just saw the news and saw who, of course, went number one, which was Caitlin Clark, number 22 from Iowa.
Insane player.
Insane player.
And if you weren't one of the millions and millions of people watching the March Madness final and saw her play, you should go check her out.
Yeah.
She's crazy good.
Well, she definitely, her and some of the other players have definitely increased the audience, the viewership of women's sports and especially college basketball.
Yeah.
But she ended up with a starting, she went number one overall, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And to the Indiana Fever, and had a starting salary of, get this, $76,535 per year and a roughly $338,000 over 4 years. And I had coffee with my parents the other day, and my dad is a big basketball fanatic and follows mostly professional sports. And he said, well, that doesn't seem very much for a basketball player. And I'm like,
it's
no,
not.
It doesn't.
It's not. I think, what did you say? Broke down 70, 76 grand a year about.
Yeah.
And then I think it's more like 90 towards the end, 90 something.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's insane.
Some
frat guys I know from college make more money the first year out of school.
Right.
Than she's making WNBA. But Are you going to talk about her Nike deal? Is that what you were going to mention?
Yes. So Nike just signed her for $28 million.
Shoe deal, right?
Yes, shoe deal. And she also has State Farm and Gatorade. So she's racking up sponsorships.
Oh, we know.
She's doing just fine.
State Farm. The first person she hugged after she got her jersey off stage from the draft was Jake from State Farm.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
It was like her family gets her jersey, goes backstage and hugs Jake from State Farm.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is great marketing. But she was also dressed head-to-toe in Prada, which was...
Yeah, and I didn't know that until you told me that just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, she was the first man or woman that has been, like, for the NBA or WNBA draft that has been dressed by Prada, which is...
From head to toe. Uh-huh. Sunglasses, oh, yeah. Shoes, everything.
She looked great. They all looked great, though. If you watched it, it looked like a red carpet event. Like, it was...
Nice.
Angel Reese looked great. Camila Cardoso looked great. They were all dressed the nines. It was
very
nice
cool.
to see.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
And then there's also a woman's volleyball star, Allie, and I hope I pronounce this correctly... Batenhorst. But she plays in Kentucky right now, is it Nebraska?
I think you said Nebraska.
And she's transferring to USC, which another USC athlete.
Fight on.
But she is, and it makes sense because she plays beach volleyball. The USC team's insane.
They're so good.
Year after year, they're so good.
Yeah,
right?
They produce a lot of Olympian level beach volleyball players, which makes sense. It's the perfect environment for beach volleyball.
Oh, for sure. So. Perfect location. So this Allie was named one of 8 nominees for athlete creator of the year by NIL and by the NIL Summit. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's a category now for athletes that they can become these content creators with NIL, they make money on their name and their likeness and image. So
there's a gymnast at LSU. I don't know if you've heard of her, Libby Dunn, and she makes crazy money from NIL, and it's just from social media following. And
wow,
I remember the New York Times wrote an article on her a couple of years ago that was like, she's sexualizing sports in order to make money. And I'm like, that is such an insane take from that kind of publication too.
Yes. Would they say that if it were a man?
No. And she immediately shot back about that and was like,
good for her.
Yeah. Defended herself, which was good because everybody was blasting her about it. And I'm like,
yeah, crazy.
Insane. We want to move on to
Let's move on to, since we're talking about college, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the crazy happenings on some of the college university campuses across the country. One being Columbia, because that's been in the news a lot.
Yeah.
So tell us about what's happening there.
So I believe there was an encampment of students, mix of students and non-students that were camping on the main campus of Columbia on the Upper West Side, New York City, and for Palestine. I think they were trying to get the university to divest in different companies and people that promote, I think it was the Israeli government, and are promoting genocide. I don't know what company specifically they were trying to get that to happen for, but...
Mixture of professors too and students.
Yeah,
and then
faculty.
And then, of course, it's kind of like how the Black Lives Matter protests and how they escalated, and all of a sudden there were activists that were being bussed in who nobody knew who they were. And that's kind of what's happening too on the college campuses, because they said some of these people weren't students, some of them are not faculty. And they're not quite sure where they came from, but there were arrests made, including a congresswoman's daughter.
Yeah, Ilhan Omar's daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Who, I didn't know she went there. She goes to Barnard, which is like the all-girls section of Columbia.
Okay.
Affiliated with Columbia. I don't know exactly how that works, but it's not like Columbia proper. She applied through Barnard.
Okay.
I think they were all suspended.
Yes. Well, not all of them, but some of them were...
A good majority of them.
A good chunk of them.
I heard they're back.
Okay.
Camping again.
Okay.
I don't know how long that'll
But this is happening. This is happening at other universities as well. So they've had incidents at Harvard,
NYU.
And at Yale, at NYU. Somebody mentioned on the news this morning, Northwestern. So, I mean, this is a crazy time on college
USC's
campuses.
USC's had its fair share of it, too. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's people that really are educated on the issues, that care about it, that are doing this. And then there's people that are chaos junkies that are injecting themselves into this situation.
100%.
And are making it more volatile.
Yes.
Like you said, they did with the Black Lives Matter situation.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people whose hearts were in the right place about certain aspects. And then you have people who aren't as educated on the topics who just...
Like, just fuel it.
Yeah.
They just fuel
like the
fire.
The chaos of being there. So
they do. So it's a little crazy right now. We'll see how some of that plays out.
The owner of the New England Patriots is a big donor to Columbia because he went to Columbia. Mm-hmm. And he just said he's pulling funding if they're going to continue to support.
Yes.
Because he's Jewish,
yes.
I believe.
And, I've heard that.
It's crazy. I saw a video on TikTok, which who knows how accurate it is, but a Jewish professor getting denied access to Columbia campus. And
Well, and then you saw what happened with Alec Baldwin. Was that yesterday morning or this morning?
I think it might have been this morning first thing when I woke up. But it was like one of those things where you wake up and you're like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's like the first thing you look at. But
So Alec Baldwin goes in to get coffee and he's just,
I think he's in New York City.
And he's in New York City, correct. He's probably filming something, who knows, or just hanging out, whatever he does.
He lives there part of the year, I believe.
But anyway, he went into a coffee shop to get coffee and somebody was trying to push him into saying Palestine or something.
That person clearly was crazy because it wasn't even about that. They were like yelling at him about how he murdered that woman on the Rust set, which that's not what happened, but it was bad situation. But the man's trying to get coffee.
I know.
And then they're shouting at him that he's to say Free Palestine, which had nothing to do with the Rust shooting.
Or with getting coffee.
No. And the look on his face, and I'm like, Alec Baldwin's as liberal as they come and as progressive as they come. But
it
was like, what is wrong with you? I just want to enjoy my morning. I don't know what possesses people to harass celebrities.
Well, I don't either, because for one thing, I'm never starstruck, or I have never been. I don't know if that'll always
stay
true.
When you told me that story one time, you were getting your hair done, and you said that somebody goes, did you see that so-and-so's here?
No. It was years ago when there was a Saks Fifth Avenue in Dallas, and I was riding up the escalator, and one of my salespeople was riding down the escalator, and they said, Becky, did you know Tom Cruise is in the house? Tom Cruise is here in the store. And I said, did you tell him I'm here?
Well, shit, if it's Tom Cruise, I would be running through the store. There's not many people that I would get starstruck over, but I'm in love with Tom Cruise. And I've been 80s movies through now.
Yeah.
But
he still looks pretty good for his age.
That's probably the only person that I think I would be starstruck for, which is ironic.
Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. And I know you've said you could convert him, even though he's a Scientologist.
Oh, we would handle that. That would be the first thing we'd take care of, be okay. And everyone's like, Wesley, he's in his 50s. Like, would your parents care about that? And like, first of all, I'm an adult. Second of all, my dad would think that was the coolest thing ever if I was dating the Mission Impossible guy. And my mom would be like, Tom Cruise? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but
we would be fine.
Well, I told you I saw Mitch from Modern Family at Barry's the other day.
Yes.
In D.C. I go to Barry's workout classes, which they have them in L.A. too. And a lot of celebrities go. But it's I love them. But
Hard workout.
But I kept looking at the treadmill, a couple treadmills down from me. And I'd be like, it looks just like Jesse Ferguson from Modern Family. And he's a redhead, but the lighting in that room is bright red.
Right.
And so I'm like, maybe it's just messing with me. And then I saw him after and I'm like, oh, it's definitely him. And everyone's like, did you take a picture of him? I'm like, on the night at 9 a.m. on the treadmill? No. No.
Pull to the side and take
I would be pissed if I was famous and somebody was taking photos of me while I was working out.
Well, it's like how my brother takes pictures of me. Well, my one brother who's very artistic and creative and he takes these wonderful photos and creates wonderful art. But every time he takes a picture of his sister, it's like I'm moving. I'm a moving subject.
That might be personal, Mom.
It must be. And he takes it at this downward angle up. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. That's like the worst pictures of me ever.
That's okay. Dad posts pictures of me on Facebook where before I even see them, I get it sent to me three times from my different friends.
Screenshots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Different things, but.
Well, too funny. So speaking of photos, it's kind of the beginning of wedding season with spring and summer. And
I was going to say, are you talking about my age or are you talking about the time of year?
Talking about the time of year. Well, actually, your age as well, because you have so many friends that are
24.
Getting married. And she graduated high school in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that time. There's a lot of people get married and a lot of people, but the time of year with the trends, there's some good trends, there's some bad trends, and just like anything else, it has its moments.
And we're judgy.
And we're judgy because we're critics on everything. So let's talk about a trend that we both don't like.
Yeah, which one do you want to start with?
I would say the mixed dresses, but I have to say that we've seen some evidence of it being done tastefully and done really well.
It can be done.
It can be done. It's tricky.
I have not seen it done well. I've probably seen it done well 20% of the time.
I agree.
And totally 80% agree. Of the time, I think it looks terrible.
Well, it's kind of the same preface that like most people aren't, or a lot of people aren't creative, or a lot of people aren't fashion forward. And so they're trying to create something and do something with colors, which colors are very tricky anyway.
Colors are hard. If you don't have the right eye for colors or patterns, or that's why people hire interior designers.
Correct.
That's why people hire stylists. That's why people hire actual artists to do work and things. And that's why you hire a wedding planner. I don't know. And to each their own, but it's not for me. And there's a difference, I think, too, between, okay, multiple dress styles. That's kind of where it started.
Right.
Right. And then it moved to multiple colors.
Yeah.
And you're like, but usually the same style.
Yeah.
Which I still don't like, but that makes sense in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's multiple styles, multiple colors, multiple patterns, multiple lengths,
it hurts
my head. I don't like
Well, okay, so I just actually, I read two articles on it that I thought were very good, that if anybody listening or watching wants to look up, there's on brides.com, there's a good article on how to do the mixed match dresses correctly and not to overdo the different elements. So that's what you're talking about right now. They said focus on maybe two different things.
Right.
And not try to do everything different, because everything different is chaos.
Or like, I know, like I've talked to some of my friends that are in weddings where they're doing this, or have friends that are doing this with their wedding or are doing this themselves with their wedding. And a lot of times they're saying that it makes more sense financially for their bridesmaids to be able to choose their own dress instead of like having.
How many friends do you have that have that good of taste that they can like pick out their own clothes? A few of them, right?
Right. But
not everybody.
And I'm like, that's very kind. That's very kind. But they agreed to be your wedding. They know what that entails. It's not like you're going to pick out a $600 gown.
Right.
You might pick out a $200 gown, which I feel like is pretty typical, $150 to $200.
Yeah. Even on the verge of three, I think. Nowadays.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't understand letting them pick their own dress, which I feel like is even a step further, because then you can't coordinate the color palette or see them all together.
Well, I do like the trend, though, of hiring a stylist your wedding.
That was in Vogue weddings, right?
That was in Vogue. That was the other source that I thought well done.
I would do that.
I would totally do that. Yeah. I think a stylist for your wedding is a great idea.
Well, and they have
investment.
Some distance from you, too, so then they get to kind of see.
They're not emotionally invested.
You're not so
invested.
Close to it.
Right.
Yeah. And they're not
so emotionally invested.
So they can be like, no, that doesn't work. And don't get your feelings hurt kind of thing. But the mixed dress. Well, my best friend's getting married, Tori. She's getting married in April. And she's
next year, April.
Next year, April. About, I think it was April 5th. So a year from April 5th. But she's very insistent on doing the same dress.
Well, that makes sense for her.
It totally does. She's very traditional and wants the streamlined. But my friend from college, I said her sister got married in Italy, did the mixed dress thing.
And you said pulled it off.
Fabulous.
Flawless.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was something I would do. It was great.
Well,
I was
the backdrop,
so impressed.
The backdrop of Lake Como anyway.
Yeah. The fact that they were in Lake Como, I mean, that can't hurt anybody.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. So no, I understand some people doing it because is as important as pictures are to a wedding, even more so today than they were when I got married 32 years ago. It's important to have like that kind of clean look to a lot of people, and to get that clean look, that entails having the, you know, matched dresses, the match lengths, the, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with trying to get dresses maybe that flatter different body types, because not all of your bridesmaids are going to have the same figure. But, you know, I think you just have to put a lot more thought into it than just throwing it together.
I think what makes it successful when they even have the mixed colors, patterns, whatever, is it gives some sense of uniformity.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Right.
In cohesiveness.
Yep.
And I haven't seen a lot of uniformity, cohesiveness recently.
Right.
because it's getting more and more wild.
Yes.
And as long as they go together, I think it's just supposed to look like a unit, you know?
Right. Right.
I don't know.
But the wedding trends right now are to be more adventurous with your weddings and to do things that are more personalized. Like, we get all that.
And I like a lot of those. Like, what are some of the ones that we read about in Vogue? And
oh, gosh. One is to do like comfort food mixed in with your regular reception food, or something that has meaning to you, whether that's like maybe your fiance's heritage, a certain dish or something that you grew up with or something that you guys went out and in that was your first date, your dining experience. Yeah. I love that. I think that's great. Very cool.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think too, like the, I think it was like digital, what's guest book?
Yeah.
I think those are cool.
That's very cool.
Those are really cool.
I also kind of like the trend of having your wedding, like the actual vows on one day and then splitting it up and having the party on another day. I think that's cool too because
then people that want to go to the church thing, go to the church thing or whatever, the ceremony, whatever you're doing. Yeah. And then it doesn't feel like it's like from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. And
right.
The next day is more like a big party.
Well, and didn't you have, you had a roommate that got married in, or that her brother got married in India. And it was like, a 3-day celebration or something crazy.
Well, that was insane because she told me that the Indian government like rated it one of the top weddings of the year.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I think they rode elephants.
They did. They did ride elephants. I think she said like that she had like over 10 outfits for the entire process, which is insane.
Yeah.
Because she's not the bride.
Right.
So I can't imagine what.
Right. That's some celebration. That's fun.
But she showed us a lot of pictures.
I kind of like that idea of spreading it out a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. That's just me. But like you said, to each his own. So
a lot of people do the destination weddings now. It's easier now, I feel like, to do than it used to be. And people do, instead of the rehearsal dinner, they do kind of like big welcome party for everybody that comes to your wedding.
I like that too.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I've even seen some people do like a recovery kind of brunch, like on Sunday morning. And so it's like casual and everybody's in swimsuits and it's like a hangover recovery kind of thing.
So a couple years ago, my husband and I, Gene is my husband, and we, Gene, we renewed our wedding vows at our 30th anniversary. And, you know, coming off of COVID a year or two, people were still kind of reluctant at that time to travel. And we had originally planned on going to Italy and renewing our vows and having a big trip. And instead we said, well, let's do something just fun. And it doesn't have to cost a lot. Let's go to Vegas, get remarried.
Doesn't have to cost a lot.
Yeah. So because 30 people decided to join us. And when 30 people come,
they said they go to me. They just got through telling me that they have no friends. They're like, oh, we don't even have that many friends. We don't like that many people. We don't have friends. And then then I'm at my senior year of college and they tell me that they're booking me a flight, which is the day after my formal also, to Vegas for their vow renewal. And they're like, oh yeah, 30 people are coming. And I go, not only did they have 30 people to invite, they had 30 people who flew to Vegas for the event. It was so fun.
It was so fun. And we went to a place called Graceland Wedding Chapel and had a...
Iconic?
And had an Elvis impersonator, a young guy that did a great job and was so much fun. And everybody just had a ball and went to Carbone for dinner, for a dinner for 30 people.
Ordered some overpriced wine. That was so
good. Oh my gosh. The whole thing was overpriced, but it was so fabulous and it was so worth it.
It was one of the best things we've done. We drank a lot, ate a lot of good food.
And I actually won enough money at the casino to pay for the dinner.
Which was a God thing, by the way. Which is very impressive.
That was impressive. Lots of fun.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. So good times.
It was very fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Do we want to talk about any other wedding trends, or do we want to move on to Stagecoach?
Let's move on to, since we're talking about parties and talking about fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you're going to Stagecoach.
I am. I'm pulling up the lineup right now to look at. I am. I'm going to Stagecoach. I've been twice before. So I went in 2019, my freshman year of college. It was only about an hour from USC, hour and a half. So an easy drive, but and then I went my senior year because they didn't have it sophomore or junior year, which were 2020 and 2021 because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But I went in 2022 and it was so much fun. It's the weekend after weekend two of Coachella every year. Mm-hmm. So it's the same venue. It's in Indio. It's at the Empire Polo Club.
Which is in the desert, by the way, in California.
It's in Palm, near Palm Desert.
Right.
It's a blast. If you are a music festival person, you should go.
So what's the difference between Coachella and Stagecoach? Because everybody, I think a lot more people maybe have heard of Coachella.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure. Especially if you were in high school or college around 2016, when Coachella was like Boho and
right.
all the Vanessa Hudgens going and that whole thing. But Coachella is more like mainstream music, for sure. Stagecoach is country music. But they honestly, like, both attract really big names. So I know, like,
the lineup for Stagecoach?
Stagecoach this year, so, is Eric Church is headlining on Friday night. Miranda Lambert's headlining on Saturday night. And Morgan Wallen's headlining on Sunday night. And I'm very excited because I have not seen Morgan Wallen live. I've seen a lot of these people live already. But we also have Hardy and Bailey Zimmerman, who are a little bit newer but are really big, too. And then the Beach Boys are going to be there.
Okay.
They usually mix in like some people that people who like country music would like.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Post Malone's going to be there performing, and Willie Nelson, Leon Bridges, Jelly Roll, L King. It's going to be great.
So tell me,
Abbott Band, which is Texas country. If you are from Texas, you probably know Josh Abbott Band.
So tell me about Morgan Wallen.
So Morgan Wallen's a very controversial character.
I know.
Music.
He seems to like get a lot of hate thrown at
him.
And he's a great singer.
He gets
great
a lot
performer.
Of hate, I think, is because he's clearly on the right side of the political spectrum.
Okay.
But he also did get caught saying the N-word years ago.
Okay.
But
I think I kind of remember that
whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a whole cancel thing that happened with that, which.
Okay.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
And he regretted it and said it wasn't right.
Yes.
But he's tried to move on.
He has. He released one of the biggest albums in music last year.
But he didn't get honored for it.
He
got
nominated for a couple things, but there was a song called Last Night that charted all year and was number one all year over mainstream pop music and things. And
great song.
And that got nominated for a Grammy this past year, but it got nominated for songwriting and not for Record of the Year, which I think Miley Cyrus, I believe, won Record of the Year this past year.
Okay.
And I thought it was well-deserved. She deserved a Grammy. She's, I think, has been Grammy-worthy for a couple of years.
Not a fan.
Not,
sorry.
Not for
not
you.
Not a fan.
Not for me.
You. Not for me.
Because I grew up with Miley Cyrus, so I'm...
Yeah. Well, because
girls my age
because
will never
you
not
did,
like Miley
no,
Cyrus.
But because you did, I grew up with her because of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I took you to your first Hannah Montana concert.
I remember. But
Miley Cyrus have left that in the dust, though. She doesn't claim much of that anymore.
She does. She went back. She circled back.
She came back
and,
around.
She sings a lot of... her voice is really good for rock style music, which she should...
For sure.
She should sing more than she does. But... I think she won it for Flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so well deserved. But I thought Last Night should have been nominated because of how well it had done all year.
Right.
And on the regular charts.
So
just
recently.
Recently, he got arrested. This is his second arrest. I can't remember what the first one was for. This is his second arrest.
Okay.
The first one, he looks very drunk in his mugshot. But this one, he is cheesing. He is smiling. And I think we're going to put a photo up. Right here at some point of Morgan Wallen's mugshot.
Yes. You said you'd make a t-shirt out of it, which I think
I would.
Is
I'm
funny.
Sure somebody already has.
I'm sure you're going to see it at Stagecoach.
1,000%. Well, my best friend from college, Alexandra, texted me. We're going to the festival together. Mm-hmm. Texted me and goes, oh my God, did you see Morgan Wallen just got arrested in Nashville? And we're thinking, great. This man's going to blow it. We're not going to be able to see him or whatever he did.
He threw a chair out a window.
Not out a window. Off a rooftop
off
Broadway in Nashville.
That's even worse.
Off a rooftop on Broadway in Nashville, which is probably one of the busiest areas
Very crowded.
In the country.
Yes.
Is that street in Nashville?
Yes.
But I think his baby mama got remarried or engaged that day.
Okay.
And so the joke is that he definitely let the liquor talk because that's one of his lines.
Mm-hmm.
is from last night. Last night I let the liquor talk and they're like, well, he definitely did.
Yeah.
Because he was at Eric Church's new bar. I think it's called Chiefs.
Yeah.
And definitely.
But he didn't hurt anybody.
No, but it also landed in front of two cops.
Yeah, which is totally why he got arrested immediately.
That sounds like a movie scene. They see a chair like go right in front of him.
Yeah, fall right in front of him.
Okay, jail.
Thank goodness it didn't land on anybody.
It could have killed someone.
It could have killed
someone. But then again, it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't hit anyone. It didn't damage any property.
Yeah.
And I think they charged him with like three felonies. But because it didn't hurt anybody or do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, the chair didn't even break, for God's sake. He didn't damage anything.
It'll probably be reduced
to a fine.
Yeah.
And then he'll probably plead guilty and misdemeanor. And he's already said that was stupid.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that.
Right. Regret.
But
regret is good. Regret is good.
Okay. No, it was a funny situation. It's funny because nothing happened.
Yeah.
But
it could have been
horrible.
Really horrible.
But
I bet it probably gets reduced down and
probably.
Yeah.
But
reduced down to a fine.
It was funny because my friends and I were all freaking out going, oh my God, we're not going to be able to see him.
But you will.
But
so
don't jinx it yet.
I know. You're right.
This weekend.
Well, that's really all we have to talk about today. So unless you have anything else, do you have anything else you want to bring up?
I don't think so.
Well, wait to hear from you about we have a recap of Stagecoach next time.
I will give a recap of Stagecoach and
let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
And
if
Morgan Wallen behaves himself.
Stagecoach is also infamous for having like Bachelor people there from The Bachelor, the Bachelor Nation people. And I don't know if you remember Bachelor in Paradise, probably 5 years ago, I think. And one guy slept with two of the women on Bachelor in Paradise at Stagecoach.
Oh no.
And then they were all in Paradise on the beach together and talking about it, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
But Tyler Cameron, I think, is going to be there. So I'm going to try to see why.
And Post Malone, I'm a big Post Malone fan.
You remember Tyler C from Hannah B's season?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, I may have to DM him and be like, hey.
Yeah. He was pretty cute.
I'm the love of your life, I think, and I'm going to be there.
But, there you go. Come find me.
No, so maybe we'll have some drama to recap too.
Sounds good. All right. Well, I guess that's it for now, everybody. Thanks for joining us for our first episode of The Casual Critics, and you can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Next episode coming up in a couple weeks, we will explore summer travel options near and far, grilling season, and so much more.
Yep, we'll have a lot to talk about, as always.
And this has been The Baker Take.
Thank you.